بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There is a saying در زبا تسبیح و در دل گاو خر، این چونی تسبیح کے دارد اثر. You are reciting تسبیح but your heart is filled with stray thoughts. در دل گاو خر and your heart is filled with stray thoughts. این چونی تسبیح کے دارد اثر، this type of تسبیح how can it affect your heart. you engage in نماز، engage in the تلاوت of the قرآن شریف، engaged in ذکر، but our minds are wandering around all over, sometimes in the business, sometimes in sin, sometimes planning for the future, sometimes about the house, and all type of thoughts our minds are wandering around. So the mind is wandering around, so how can that tasbih affect your heart? However, on account of these stray thoughts, it's not right that we leave out and forsake the tasbih, even though it may be that we are straying, we are wandering around, but the tasbih should not be left out. It may be that Allah Ta'ala will grant you that type of concentration one day. And further, we need to be thankful that Allah Ta'ala has engaged one organ of ours in His remembrance. If the entire body is wandering around, but the tongue is in His remembrance, perhaps Allah Ta'ala will show affection that this person is trying, and his heart, though is negligent, but his tongue is trying to engage in my remembrance. So that is why they say, "Ee chuni tasbih ham darad asar." Even this tasbih, even this has its effect. It will leave its mark. Al-Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, "Khuda ka naam chahe jis qadar ghaflat se kaha jaye, asar kiye baghair rehta nahi." The name of Allah Ta'ala is so effective, that no matter how a person takes the name of Allah Ta'ala, whatever type of stray thoughts and mind, but this taking the name of Allah Ta'ala will leave its mark, it will have its effect. So this is the thing that is to be acquired, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. As much as we can, as far as we can, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala should be acquired. The heart requires two things for its rectification. See, for the heart must come right. But what is required for its reformation? You need two efforts for the reformation of the heart. One effort is insufficient. Two efforts are required, then you will find that heart is right. As Mawla Zafar Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullah Alayh, he had seen Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah in his dream, and he asked Hadith Sahib, "Make dua for me that mujhe nisbat mil jaye, that I am blessed with that nisbat." The Buzurgana Deen speak about the special link and special ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala, make dua that I am blessed with that special ta'alluq. So Adi Sahib Rahmatullah, I told him that tujetun nisbat hasil hai. You have got nisbat already. Baqi, aap akhlaq seekhne ke liye apne mamu ke paas chale jao. In order to learn akhlaq, go to your uncle, that's Mohan Thanbi Rahmatullah's mamu. So go there and learn akhlaq. So both these things have to be acquired in order to get the shape of the heart and the direction of the heart right. There is no doubt that the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is the greatest thing, it is the most effective thing. But that does not mean that an effort should not be made to acquire sahih akhlaq, correct character. Otherwise, all those verses of the Quran Sharif and the virtues that are repeatedly coming in the hadith will not be of any meaning. Right? The Quran Sharif says, Allah Ta'ala loves those that have tawakkul. Allah Ta'ala is with those people that have patience. Allah Ta'ala loves the patient, right? So now all these are verses of the Quran Sharif that relate to the heart. The one who suppresses his anger in spite of him being able to enforce his anger on the day of Qiyamah, he will be blessed in this manner. The hurs of Jannat, he will be asked to select whatever he pleases, right? So now this all relates to what? It relates to akhlaq. It relates to character. So in order to get the heart right, this dual effort is required. One is zikr, to establish zikr in one's system, one's heart. And the second is to get the akhlaq right. And that getting that akhlaq is not an easy thing. It's quite a difficult thing. Man's tabiat is such he doesn't appreciate someone correcting him. See, the Imam Sahib making a mistake in namaz now. He doesn't like it. Doesn't like mistake, he doesn't like to be corrected, right? Now, in presence of everybody, I will be embarrassed what people will say, making mistakes in namaz, right? So it's natural in man that he doesn't want to be corrected. He wants to save himself all type of embarrassment. So if someone is going to correct him, then he's going to feel down, he's going to feel embarrassed about it. But then in order to correct this, you will have to go through the training. In order to get the shape of the heart right, you have to go through the training. As a failure of getting that akhlaq right, see sometimes that all what you have earned, all is gone. See, comes in the hadith. One of the Azwaj Mutahharat, they passed a remark against Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha. See? Some type of unpleasant remark. Or she, that small girl, something like this. Obviously now it was a co-wife, they have that differences, they have that feelings for each other. So Rasulullah Pasam was very affected at this. And he said that you made such a statement that if this statement has to be mixed with the water of the ocean, then the poison and the filth of this statement will prevail over the water of the ocean as well. So one statement can be so damaging. Now, the statement, what does it relate to? It relates to akhlaq. It relates to character. That if the character is right, then the speech will be right. If the character is not right, then the speech will also be incorrect. Then you find another hadith where Rasulullah Pasam, the Sahaba Kiram are traveling, and Safiya radiallahu anha's camel is lame, right? And another Sahabi, a woman, has got an additional animal. So Rasulullah suggests to her, her Safiya's animal is sick. Can't you lend your animal to her Safiya? So that Yahudi, that Jewess, I must lend my animal to her. Rasulullah was disturbed. For approximately 2.5 months, he did not speak to her. One statement, and Rasulullah was so affected. Can you see now how it impacts on your heart? It impacts on the akhlaq. So, akhlaq is generally treated as a light thing. Things that relate to the heart, generally, overall, we don't consider it as a serious thing. But the consequences of the incorrect akhlaq are very, 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 very dangerous. You make one statement to a person and see how he feels, one wrong statement. For days after that, it affects him. It's locked in his memory that this person told me this thing here. Insan to insan, kutta bhi aisa hai. I know in Molana's place, there was that pit bull terrier, you know. So I asked Molana once, that why is this dog not taking to this person, one of the family members, but he's not taking to him. Everybody else, the dog is taking well. But this particular person, and that dog is not taking well to him. So Molana's statement, Molana's answer was, okay, when that thing was small, this person teased the dog. He interfered with it and he teased with the dog. So this thing is locked up in the memory of the dog, that this person is after me. He wasn't pleasant with me. He wasn't good with me. Okay? He wasn't good towards me. So I can't be pleasant towards him. So just the interaction, how you interact with people, how you talk to people, how you relate to people, how important it is. That injury that you have, like they say, iltam and all that, yeah? That injury, bodily, physical injury, that can be sorted out, can be treated. The stab or an injury can be fixed up. But the injury of the heart, it remains for days, it remains. For days and years, it remains. That is why the Quran Sharif emphasizes about Husna Kalam, Kulli Ibadi, Yaqulul Lati Hiya Ahsan. When you speak, speak well. إذا أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا وذي القربى واليتامى وقولوا للناس حسنا. And when you speak to people, speak well. That is, even if it is non-Muslims, وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. That if you have to speak to them, then speak to them in an appropriate manner, in a good way. Though they are my enemies, but that doesn't, it doesn't justify your speaking to them, it doesn't warrant your speaking to them in a rude way, in an abrupt way. You're going to Fir'aun, Fir'aun is going to die a kafir. That's already written in my taqdeer. It's written already in my lower mahfuz that Fir'aun is going to die a kafir. But you see to it that in spite of him being a cruel person, tyrant, killing away innocent children, and what have you, right? Enslaving the Bani Israel, all that wrong atrocities that he is guilty of. But you see to it when you speak to him, قُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Speak to him in soft words. So all that zulm, that cruelty, the wrong, the atrocities, all on one end. But on the other end, when you talk to him, you see that you speak to him in a good way. So Allah Ta'ala knows that this akhlaq, when this akhlaq is not right, this character is not right, how damaging it is, how destructive it is. It destroys, it finishes you up, khalas. It eliminates you. All what you have earned, it destroys, it burns out everything. Al-Mu'ala Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, should say, ke musalman ki adna se adna dil azari se, bare se bare amal ki ronak khatam ho jati hai. You hurt the Muslim and you hurt the believer slightly, very slightly. Very, very slightly you hurt that Muslim. You hurt his feelings, you hurt his emotions, but lightly. This is the ronak, the goodness and the radiance of the greatest of actions are wiped out on account of that slight, small injury you have caused to a believer. Do you see how destructive? On the one end, got all piles of deeds. And the other end, everything is getting wiped out. On the day of Qiyamah, this hadith is quite popular, we all hear it. Man has got mountains and mountains and mountains, horizons of deeds. And then he comes on the day of Qiyamah, يَأَتِي أَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا وَشَتَمَ هَذَا وَضَرَبَ هَذَا. He's hurt this person, he's abused this person here, he's insulted this person, and all his good deeds are shifted to this person that he's insulted, and he's loaded with their evil, he's loaded with their sins, and his good deeds are shifted, moved on to this person. So in this brief manner, we understand the importance of akhlaq. And the correction of the heart will only be possible when these two strong effort is made. This one effort, it is important, that zikr is very important, but it's not sufficient, it's insufficient. It's very important, it's the greatest of things. But like we need to get the zikr right, then we need to make a concerted effort in bringing about akhlaq as well. Then does the heart get the right shape, it gets the right mold. Without that, the heart doesn't get the right mold. See, the shaitan, he takes a keen interest in human relationship, he takes a keen interest how to corrupt human relationship. That is why you'll find approximately three places in the Quran, اِذْفَعَ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And after that, Labak speaks about, اِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينِ. You'll find that where it is related to human relationship, Allah Ta'ala is speaking about taking protection against the evil suggestions of shaitan, evil whispers of shaitan. Now, shaitan likes this interference between human relationship within humanity, within men, man to man, and that interference, that type of disturbance in relationship, that breakdown in relationship, he likes that. He likes to see that. And this is repeated thrice in the Quran Sharif, showing to man that remember, when you are talking, you must be very, very thoughtful, very mindful, because shaitan is coming in between. He's coming to break the relationship between both of you people. Somehow he's going to come. One will say something that is unpleasant, it's unsavory, and now the other person feels cut up. Sometimes it happens between two people, sometimes it happens between brothers, sometimes it happens between spouses, sometimes it happens between parents and children. So this will happen. قُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ. But speak well. Why? Shaitan tries to create interference, differences. يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ. He tries to create differences between people. Now you're getting spurred up and you want to say something. See? And you say it. Now you do not know whether you are saying it being overcome with anger, or you're saying it in a justifiable way, whether you are justified in saying this, or you are saying this because of that anger that has overtaken you. You do not know. So overall, we understand that to get the akhlaq is important, as well as to get the dhikr is important. If you only get akhlaq and you don't get dhikr, then too sometimes your actions can be tainted. You won't have the degree of sincerity that is required. With zikr, as the consciousness, the awareness, and the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala increases, you will find that the actions that you are doing is supported with sincerity. It begins to gain greater acceptance in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. So on the one end, akhlaq will protect your actions. You have accumulated good, so it will guard your actions. It will guard your actions, it will protect it, it will preserve it. Right? You have accumulated, you have made mehnat and all that. So what is the thing that is going to protect it? What is the thing that is going to guard your actions? Is your akhlaq. Right? And then what is going to increase the level of your acceptance? The level of acceptance needs to be increased. That is sincerity. And how does that come about? It comes about with abundant zikr. Zikr all the time. The more the zikr, the more the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. The more consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, you will find every action and you've got the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is watching. What does He want of me in this situation? What will He be pleased with? Now the question is that how do we achieve this akhlaq and this character that we are talking about? See, we spoke about zikr, and then how do we improve this character? Uske liye buzurgon ki jootiya seedhi karni padti hai, unki karvi kasali sunni padti hai. For that you stay in the khanqah for some time. And listen to all what they have to say. One day they'll tell you something that is unpleasant, unsavory, unpalatable. But now if you listen to all that, different people will be made to do different things. In Thanabon, someone is instructed that he must get up after the namaz and he must say, brothers, make dua for me. I've got some bad habits. Very, very bad habits I've got. Make dua that these bad habits of mine are changed, they are replaced with good habits. Now it's a difficult thing, isn't it? It's a difficult thing to go in after every namaz now. Every namaz, one namaz every day. One namaz every day, but you have to make that announcement. So that has to be screened all the time. One woman wrote up to Muwatta Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, whenever I go into the midst, into the company of my woman friends, you know, girlfriends and all that, and I see the other girls, other women wearing new dresses, nice dresses, then I also begin to crave to buy and to wear that type of dresses. Now, will this be showing off? Will this be israf or not? Will this be israf and showing off or not? You see, now they're concerned. So everything they are going to ask, they're going to inquire. You're not going to leave it unattended. The thing that is not clear in your mind, you're going to ask. One is you remain by them, and one is you keep on asking as well. That this, does it now affect my akhlaq? It deteriorates my akhlaq or not? How is it shown that the Nawab of Bhopal, very wealthy person, and he was wearing clothing that was also very expensive. Extreme, very expensive clothing. He's in the masjid, like how we have sahan, an open area. So he must have been performing namaz in that section behind the imam, and it began to pour. And some people scattered and went away. He just remained cool, calm, relaxed. Someone asked him, but you know, you're wearing that type of clothing, and the clothing's quality will be affected. Type of clothing that you are wearing, the quality is going to be affected, like how you got a coat, right? And water gets onto it. So the quality of that coat is affected. It needs to be washed, but it needs to be washed in a certain way. You can't just wash it in any way. So his reply was that I was in namaz and the communication with Allah Ta'ala was so good that I didn't want any disturbance to come into it. As for this clothing, if it gets spoiled, it's alright. I can replace it. I can always replace the clothing. It's not a problem. But I didn't want my namaz to get affected. So Mawlana says, for this type of people, to wear that type of expensive clothing is permissible. There's nothing wrong. Because they haven't been consumed and obsessed by the clothing. And when we are wearing good clothing, really, we become the khadim of that good clothing. The clothing needs to be our khadim, it needs to be our worker. needs to be working for us. But we then begin to work for that clothing, that cloth. Like our homes also, you'll see. That home was supposed to be our khadim, serving us. Right? Now, when we make that home like a museum, like a showpiece, now really we become the workers of our homes. This must be displayed like this, this must be done like this, this must be done like this. So what has happened? That we became the khadim, we became the worker, and the house became the boss. It's supposed to be the other way around, that you are the boss, and that becomes the worker. So overall your life becomes a show, ostentation, or show what people will say, and how it must be, etc., etc. The very essence of life has been destroyed. Sometimes you will find one person has got clothing. Every now and then he's watching, you know, how is this clothing and how is the crease. And you know, every now and then the thing is smart looking, not smart looking. See? So for him it's not right that he wears this type of clothing. Because there is a degree of show within him that he wants to be always looking smart. He's been consumed with the thought of his clothing, his appearance, he's consumed. I don't say that you must look unpleasant. That's a different thing. To deliberately make yourself look unpleasant, that's wrong. It's against the Quran, against the Hadith. But to be consumed with this thought now, you know, I'm wearing a white kurta, so I need to have a white socks as well. And the shoes must be also white color. And the topi must be also matching. See? Right? So now what is this? This is being consumed with that. It's white socks and white kurta and white topi. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh. He had an expensive mirror made in China, but very expensive. That from that zamana, China had something outstanding, you know, the workmanship, etc., quality also for high standard. It was a very advanced community. So he had on mirror, and the khadim, he was doing something, and the mirror burst and broke. So he got very worried. Khadim got very worried. This is an expensive thing. It's not an easily available thing. See? And it's imported from China. Now what's going to happen? Just now the lanat of Allah Ta'ala will come. What will happen to me? I will get finished. I will get destroyed. See? So all these thoughts are running through the mind of this khadim, you see. The khadim thinks, you know, I must get out of this whole situation. Perhaps I make a poetry, you know, somehow. Make a poetry and present it before Hazrat. The kalam and all that, Hazrat will get, he'll get affected and the whole thing will be forgotten. So he says to Hazrat Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that as qaza aina e chini mi shikast. As qaza aina e chini mi shikast. Through takdir, because of takdir, this Chinese mirror had broken down. Now see how nicely he put it up. Takdir had its way. It was in takdir, so this Chinese mirror broke down. So Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah spontaneously gave the answer. Straight away gave the answer. He says, Khub should Azbabe khud bini mi shikast. Wonderful, excellent. This thing, this instrument that is used, for ostentation and show, this has broken down. It's very good. You'll find youngsters and a lot of women also, every now and then they're looking at the mirror. Sometimes they got in the handbag also, they got a mirror, how they're looking. From this side, that angle, that. As though they give that impression, they create that impression that mirror makes you look more beautiful. that there is no beauty in the mirror. Beautiful is what you are. That mirror can't give you any additional beauty. Now you want to carry on as though that mirror is going to make you any more beautiful. That's not right. So he made up a story and he says, as kaza, china, aina e chini mishikast. Hazrat Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, some cloth merchant was selling some cloth. And it was known that nobody can purchase this cloth in the whole town. Such an expensive quality, nobody can purchase it. Because the merchant took it to the king and the monarch also, they couldn't purchase it. I came around to Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and Sayyid Sahib must have felt, poor chap, he came, bari umid lekar ke aaye honge. He came with a lot of hopes. The Buzurgana Deen, they think in a different way. They think in a different way. They think for the good of people. He must have come with a lot of hopes, you know, a lot of expectations. And now everybody is going to turn him down. Then what? How will he return? What a sore heart he will return with. No, man, let's purchase it. He purchased it and he called the tailor in. India, you have it like this, India and Eastern countries. You can call a tailor, barber, anybody you can call to your house, your residence. Yeah, it looks difficult now. You call a tailor, you call a barber. In the old days, I used to call a tailor, call a barber. He'll come to your house. He'll come to your room. Take the measurements, whatever you want, they'll do it. The business is, the trend is like that in India. You want tea at your room, get the tea service. Right to your room, you get the tea service. Just that, at that time there was no cell phone, see. Now with the cell phone, you could have just phoned them, I want this tea, and I want this type of biscuit or this mitai. You don't even go. Then you have to send a khadim now, the khadim will go get the tea and come back. Or he'll just say that I want so many cups of tea. Okay. So Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh called for the tailor, and he says to the tailor, that this garment has to be prepared. Now, tailor is preparing the garment and he tells Sayyid Sahib, at least this tailor is preparing that garment. In the meanwhile, the news has already reached the king that garment that you failed to buy, he went and bought it. And he must have done that just to spite you, you know, just to show you a point. See, I'm one above you. You can't buy it, but I can buy it. So these kings, they're very, very cautious about their influence, their position, and their authority. You know, they don't want any type of interference. They get very affected. They get very affected that anybody's trying to spite me, or he thinks that he's more powerful than me. So the wazir told him that he tells the king, don't be hasty in your decision. Let me go and see what's going on. If they're really being spiteful, and they really want to despise you, therefore they bought it, what's the real story? When he came there, the story was going around that the cloth was a little bit short, so he called for the tailor. He told the tailor, this is that second cloth. You know, it's sackcloth. There is some extra second cloth here. Fix it up with this second cloth, you know. This second cloth you got, just fix it up there. That's all. So this wazir came back to the king and says, Bashar Salamat, forget opposing this man here. Unki nazro mein, to kya ye kapra, aur ye kya taat ka kapra? Kya ye kapra, aur kya taat ka kapra? In his sight, this and second cloth is nothing. You wearing an expensive dafa cloth, dafa kurta, and the one sleeve is short somewhere. Someone tells you, now put a sackcloth, or you think I'm mad. Right? That dafa kurta must have meant nothing compared to that clothing. It means nothing. But in their sight, it was nothing. Whether it's a dafa kurta, whether it's second cloth, both is the same. His niyat was something else. His niyat was, this person bari umid lekar ke aaye, and he mustn't go back with a sore heart, with a hurt heart. He doesn't want to go. Doesn't want him to send to go back with that. You see. So what we're getting at is this akhlaq and how we need to rectify and correct the akhlaq. How we need to attend to that akhlaq. Overall, the nafs needs its discipline. One woman had left her child at Sayyid Sab's place, Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani's place. The Abdi says, Kubanao, make him like yourself. Now after a year or something, she comes around and she sees there's dry crumbs of bread lying before her child and his skin and bone. The child was nice and plump and fat and healthy, and now his skin and bone. Then she goes forward, she goes ahead and she sees Sayyid Sab, and he's eating nice murgh pulao, you know, murgh musallam, whole nice whole chicken and what he's eating. Now she couldn't restrain, she couldn't hold herself. Yeah, this dry crumbs is for my son, he must die like this. And all that, you only capable of eating this type of food. That whole roast and all that, that you capable of eating that, and this is for my son. So now Sayyid Sab had to teach this woman, had to correct this woman. And all, we all know the women are a little bit hasty. They just blurt out things. So whatever comes, they just let drive. Anything comes, just let drive. They can't keep anything. That's why secrets, mustn't tell women how much you're earning, where you're spending it, all that. You don't have to tell, you don't have to discuss everything. You can't even do charity then. You're going to give something to some friend of yours, you can't do it. You got a relative and you want to have that relative, and she will teach you, no, you mustn't do it like this. Don't spend it here, spend it there. You know, you still need to have that machine here you're going to spend on. You're becoming Father Christmas here. What's going to happen to all this machinery that you want, all the accessories? How are you going to support all that? How are you going to buy all that, you see? So you don't have to share every secret with them. One, two things, all right, couple of things here, there, just to satisfy them. But that doesn't mean every secret you're going to satisfy, you're going to discuss with them. See? What we are talking about? Huh? Ji? Yeah. That murgh musallam. So he got all those bones together and he instructs the bones, Qum bi iznillah. Get up by the command of Allah Ta'ala. The whole thing came together, feathers came together, the meat and whatever came together, reassembled, and that is made kukri cook. When that thing shouted like that, so he says to this woman that I am waiting for your son to become like this. When he becomes like this, then he can eat whatever he wants. Then he can eat whatever he wants. Now he needs to dry that nafs within him, that nafs and that evil that is within him, that temptation, he needs to dry it out of him. Once that is dried out of his system, then he'll know where to draw the line. Up to this point, he doesn't know where to draw the line. Where to respond, where not to respond, how to act at the time of anger, how not to act, where to give in and where not to give in, to what extent you need to listen to the nafs. Nafs has certain taqaz, has certain urges, to what extent you need to listen to it. So he doesn't know his limits now. But once he's got this right, then he can eat as I'm eating. But now he doesn't have that still. And he's going to eat all these things here. If the nafs is bad already, and it's getting all what it wants, the nafs is bad and it gets whatever it wants, it will even worse, it will deteriorate. It's bad, and whatever is temptation, we're just giving it. See, that nafs is like the child. It's like a bad addiction, right? The nafs is like a bad addiction. And you just... you are servicing that bad addiction. What's going to happen? That addiction is going to go worse and worse. You need to dry it out of that addiction completely. When you dry it out completely out of that addiction, Now, a doctor can say, now you need to take this drug. So you will take it if you need as a medication. You won't take it more than that. Because you have dried your system out of this. Now you actually abhor and you resent that. But now, and up till now you are addicted. The nafs is addicted. When the nafs is addicted, then it doesn't know its limits. It doesn't know where to draw the line. It doesn't know how to differentiate. This is nafs, this is not nafs. It doesn't know how to differentiate. When it doesn't know how to differentiate, then it hasn't acquired the level of discipline that it requires. It hasn't acquired. So it needs to go through this rigorous training. And once it's got that type of understanding that this is nafs, and this is where I need to give, to this extent I need to give in to the nafs, and here I can't give it to the nafs. When he's got that, then he's acquired the discipline. He's acquired the level of character that is required. And he knows sabr to what extent, right? He knows, for example, tawakkul and what is tawakkul and to what extent. He knows, for example, shukr and how to do it. He knows, for example, qanaat and contentment and how to be content and what is contentment. To be pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under all circumstances, he knows what it means. He knows his limits. But up till now, he doesn't know the limits. Because up till now, he's under addiction. He's enslaved, you see. When you are addicted, then you're going to carry on servicing this. You're going to carry on servicing this addiction. What's going to happen? That addiction is going to grow deeper and deeper. So this is the nafs now. It's addicted. When it's addicted and you're servicing that nafs, then that addiction is going to go deeper within your system. It's going to come out of your system. So you need to dry it out. You need to cleanse it out. You need to flush that addiction out. Once that addiction has been flushed out, then you will know exactly, all right, this is my limit. This point I can go up to, and this point I can't go to. So in order to get that akhlaq and character, people spend many, many months, long zamana, in the khidmat, in the service of the Buzurganadin and Mashayikh. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say that if we can't afford to give that amount of time, then the heart must be there. You got that opportunity, you are there. The heart is there by your Mashayikh, your Buzurganadin. Whatever opportunity you got, whatever time you've got, but your heart, your mind, your soul is there. All right, this, how do I get this right? Is this right? Is this not right? You're asking, you're finding out. Your heart and your mind and your focus is in that direction. Because you don't know, I haven't got this right. I have to be there. My mind, mentally, must be there. My emotions must be there. My heart must be here. Obviously, when your heart is in that direction, your mind is in that direction, everything is in that direction, you're going to shape up also. It may take slightly more time, but you will shape up. Like the patient who says, I cannot afford to be in the hospital, right? One is the patient, and the doctor says to him, you must remain in the hospital for 6 weeks. Now he says, you know what, this hospital is costing about 5 grand every day. 6 weeks, where am I going to get the money from? Where am I going to get that 150, 160,000? Where am I going to get that money from? I can't go. Then the doctor is kind and compassionate, what he would tell him, all right? You can go home, but everything that you do, it must be such as though I can see it. I can be here and I can see what you are doing. I got some type of a video or whatever it is, inner circuit, and I can monitor every move of yours. How you are eating, how you are drinking, how you are sleeping, toilet. In the 6 weeks I need to see you carefully. I have to screen you out completely. If I don't screen you out and I don't see you, then I regret to say that you will go even worse. Where your health is standing now, presently, it's going to go even worse. I need to monitor you right through what you're doing, what you aren't doing for that 6 weeks or for that whatever duration, but I need to see you, I need to monitor you. Now these are physical illnesses and they heal very easily. Spiritual sicknesses are very, very subtle, very discreet and subtle. And they don't just go out. They don't just go away. So as though mentally, spiritually, you are by them, Everything, you are getting screened out. Your whole direction is there, your whole focus is there. If your focus is there, your direction is there, and you got that intention, that, according to the words of Hazrat Rahmatullahi, that I have an opportunity, I'll be here. Then I won't go anywhere else. I'll just be here and get myself right. Then inshallah, you will find that, though it may take some time, but you will get some shape, you will get some type of direction in your nafs. In that nafs of yours, you'll get some direction, some shape of you that you will get. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq naseeb kare.